The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. There's a very popular mistake which Christians think that Jesus doesn't want us to be ambitious, that anyone who is ambitious doesn't seem to be Christian. Jesus wants us to be very ambitious, but ambitious for the right things. Today he tells us how to become greatest in his kingdom. The greatest of all is the one who obeys the commandments, the covenant of the Lord, and teaches others to do so. Today we come to celebrate the motherhood of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, someone who obeyed the Lord's covenant, obeyed the Lord's word, who hung on the word so much that that word could literally take her own flesh and dwell among us, and who then, both with Jesus as well as with all of those Jesus had come to redeem, teaches others to do the same. Teaches not so much as a magister in a classroom, but teaches us by our own discipleship, by our own example, how precisely to hear the word of God, obey it, and to bring that gift to others. The first reading today, St. Paul in his second letter, talked about two covenants. For those of us who don't grasp immediately the context of the second letter to St. Paul, St. Paul to the Corinthians, where he was being challenged precisely about where what Jesus did fits into what God had done from the beginning of salvation history, we might not follow this. But what he was essentially trying to say was, as incredible as the Old Covenant was, what Jesus has done, thanks to Mary's yes, is even more incredible. Said, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, was so glorious that the Israelites could not look intently on the face of Moses because of its glory that was going to fade, St. Paul's whole sense was that the purpose of the Old Covenant was to help us to die to ourselves, to discover that we couldn't keep the letter of the Old Covenant by our own power. If that was glorious, such that when God had given Moses the Ten Commandments, his face was radiant. The ministry of righteousness given to us by God's power will abound much more in glory. That the new covenant brought about by the radiation of the Holy Spirit flowing into the heart of the human person, so that that heart might adhere to the Word of God. How much more glorious will that be? How much more radiant is Mary than Moses? Because of the radiance of that new covenant. There are two words in Greek for new. One is neos, which means brand new, never having been seen before. Second is tainos, which means new and improved, something totally fresh. And the word for new covenant that Paul uses here and that Jesus would use when he said, "I give you a new commandment," is tainos. It's not totally new out of nowhere, but it's totally fresh. It's supposed to revivify us, it's supposed to make us younger, it's supposed to make us more alive. That's the covenant to which Paul is pointing. We call Mary the mother of this covenant because she's ever fresh, she's ever young, she's ever virginally saying fiat to the Lord. She's showing us what it means to live by the Word of God. Once there was an anonymous woman in a crowd who, in order to bless Jesus, said, "How great is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee." And if there was ever a womb that was blessed, if there were ever breasts that should have been praised, it would have been Mary's, that gestated and nourished the eternal Son of God. But Jesus didn't want the praise to stop at Mary's physical relationship to Him. He said rather, "Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it." Jesus would say that the greatest is the one who obeys. And the word in Hebrew for obey and to hear is the same word, because to hear God speaking and not to obey would be schizophrenic. The one who hears the Word of God and keeps it would maintain that distinction in Latin. The word to hear is audire. The word to obey is ob audire, which is an intensification of listening. A listening so much in eavesdropping that we're literally hanging our entire life on every word. And that's what Mary shows. Someone who listens so attentively to the Lord that she acted on it always. That she was able to say to the Archangel Gabriel, "Fiat mi secundum verbum tuum." Let my whole life develop in accordance with your word and will. Let me become truly a person of the covenant. This is what we celebrate today. Mary is this instantiation of this new covenant. She shows us the glory of obeying the Lord, a glory that continued to shine on the darkest noontime ever when her son was crucified on Calvary. But not even that darkness could extinguish the glorious light that was radiating from her. And she wants to mother us all the way toward that truth. She teaches us not only how she mothers us as the great gift that Jesus gave to us as he was dying for us on the cross, "Behold your mother, behold your son," but she teaches us precisely in mothering us how we can become mothers of God. This is one of the deepest things any father of the church ever said about Mary and what she seeks to do in us. But St. Ambrose said that only one person in all of history has ever been Jesus' mother according to the flesh. But every single Christian is supposed to be a mother of Jesus according to the Spirit. And how does that work? When we conceive the Word of God within us intellectually, when we've heard it and let it enter through our ears, into our minds, and sink down into our hearts, and then to our knees and to our hands and to our feet as we live the Word of God, that Word within us is supposed to grow. We're supposed to become impregnated with that Word. And just like any mom will realize, that pregnancy begins to enlarge within. And it becomes so big that a woman cannot hold that child within any longer, no matter how much she would want to. She has to give that child whom she's conceived into the world. And that's the process of becoming mothers according to the Spirit. That when we've, in our soul, received the Lord, and that's why the soul is grammatically feminine, that Word is supposed to grow so much that we eventually cry out in labor pains like St. Paul, "Woe to me unless I share this gospel. Woe to me unless I give birth to the Word in this way, so that others might likewise conceive the Word of God and grow to have this same relationship." The greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the one who obeys and teaches the commandments. And this is not, as Mary shows us, fundamentally an extrinsic act of obedience and teaching. It's primarily an interiorization, which that Word comes within us and we live it and teach others, not with words, but teach others with example, how to follow the Lord to true greatness. Today we come to our mother in the faith, to whom we've prayed so many times. We ask her to intercede with her son for what she recognizes we most need, so that we might have such a confidence in the covenant of glory that the Lord has revealed to us, that we will listen as attentively as she did and allow her Son, that new and eternal covenant, who's about to feed us with himself and make us pregnant, just as she carried this same Lord Jesus within, to totally change our life so that we might go out and become truly great by teaching others how to become more Marian. This is the gospel. May we always praise the Lord Jesus.